While the violence and unrest that took a hold of KZN and parts of Gauteng is being quelled, unrelated in the mining sector, violence continues to play itself out, so much so that Rio Tinto has declared a force majeure at its Richards Bay Minerals unit. And in the Prieska area, Orion Minerals is another miner that's fallen victim to mine attacks and invasions too, impacting production, employment and investment into the industry, which of course contributes around 11% to total GDP. For greater insight and perspective on what's playing out, we're joined by DG of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, Thabo Makwena, Tabelo Chabana, who's Senior Executive of Public Affairs and Transformation at the Minerals Council SA, and Errol Smart, CEO of Orion Minerals as well. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Tabelo, I'm going to start off with you. The past week has underlined the devastating impact of a poorly resourced police force on the economy, and it's that has been failing South Africa's mining sector for a while now. So how much of a problem have mine invasions presented for South Africa's mining sector?
Good evening, Alicia. I mean, look, I guess, sadly as an industry, the mining sector has been experiencing this challenge for some time now. What we've had is that, we've had community protests morphing rather into protests funded and aided by what we call, the procurement mafia, disgruntled businessmen, politicians, entrepreneurs that are then utilizing the communities, whipping up community members then to go and do certain things. Unfortunately, in this case, extorting business out of some of the mining companies. And in the process, I mean, the protests have been violent. And yes, unfortunately, it's been met with complicit behavior from the local police. We've had to certainly get in to understand how the policing works and link in with the national police. And then also, obviously lean quite heavily on our regulator to assist us in this regard. But certainly, I think, if these kind of things were nipped in the bud, in some of the regions where the mines are in KZN, they have been having problems also with the mafia for some years now. Who knows, I think the country might have been better prepared to deal with this kind of activity on a more national scale.
Yeah. Errol, in fact, your operations have felt the impact of deficits in policing with attacks at Orion Minerals premises near Prieska. So talk us through the extent and what the problem is when it comes to getting control of the situation.
Good evening. Yes, look, we were very fortunate in that we probably got the taster, the small end of this procurement mafia impact that you get. So we were heavily threatened. There were marches and there was tire burning and that kind of thing that was happening. But we were fortunate that we were able to access the courts early and actually get interdicts, because as soon as it started getting to the point that it could have matured into something really uncomfortable, we were able to access the courts. The courts gave us an order, they gave the police an order, and the police moved in and then clarified it. And now we're able to, in a more orderly environment and with assistance of the DMRE, and the DMRE have now come to the party, and so is the Premier's office in the Northern Cape, who want to see orderly business conduct. So now we're able to sit down and speak to people sensibly, because, when people are threatening you, you can't talk sensibly. We just saw that as a country last week. There's no sensible conversation that happens in that environment. You have to actually be able to sit down and speak to get an outcome. And so from Orion's perspective, yes, it was unfortunate that it took a while to get the police mobilized, but we could access courts, and many places in the world and in Africa, you wouldn't be able to access the courts.
Yeah.
And we did, and it worked.
DG, let's bring you in at this point. I mean, we've had the Mineral Resources and Energy Minister, Gwede Mantashe, emphasize that everything possible is being done to resolve the issues of violence around mining. But there have been calls and increased calls for specialized police units to curtail illegal mining and restore investor confidence as well. So what has the response from government been? And, have you perhaps paid enough attention to some of the red flags that have been erected along the way?
Thank you very much. Good evening to yourself and the viewers at home, and also to the colleagues in the studio, including Errol and Tibello. We welcome this opportunity to come here and clarify this point. I think where I want to start is that we are having a very good working relations with the Minerals Council, as Errol has indicated, that with the help of the department and government, we have been able to intervene and try to address whatever challenges that our mining companies are confronted with. Now, coming directly to your question, yes, we are in progress. We recently had a meeting with the minister where he issued a clear guidance around his pronouncement, as you have correctly, you know, articulated this point, that the minister, you know, did raise this issue that, like, when you talk of the stock theft, you have a specialized unit that deals with stock theft. Now, looking at the trends and the developments within the mining industry, we also took a decision that it would be prudent that we have a unit within SAPS that would be a specialized unit to deal specifically with mining-related issues, especially, you know, issues relating to illegal mining activities and other ancillary activities that are undermining our efforts in, you know, growing the economy, because you know that we are bleeding very much. The economy is suffering as a result of the illegal mining activities that are taking place. And so what I can confirm is that indeed the work is underway. We have held discussions with the senior management of SAPS at a technical level to look at all modalities on what can be done, and there are quite a number of issues that we have put on the table that from the side of the department, and also SAPS is in agreement with us that those are the issues that we need to look at, because what is important, it is how can we stabilize at the moment whilst we are looking at a long-term plan, because the way we have structured our approach, we have looked at the short-term, medium-term and long-term in terms of the interventions that we must put in place. And so that's where we are at the moment, and we are quite optimistic that with the way the colleagues have responded to this call, we should be able to get it right. Thank you.
Tibello, work is underway. Question is it happening fast enough? And are you convinced that, you know, the right mechanisms are now coming into play to get a full control of the situation? Because until there is a handle on this, it's all going to come at a cost, right? So, and price tags are going to be associated with, you know, suspension of operations and then just pure infrastructural damage as well.
Yeah, so unfortunately, look, this is a really quite a wicked problem. I mean, you know, why are certain groupings, you know, call them the business forums or the procurement mafia, why are they able to utilize, you know, youths, desperate youths? Well, the devil makes work of idle hands, as we say. You know, so a lot of issues really literally on the ground have to be worked out. I mean, we do definitely need better social delivery. We do need youth employment. We do need to get the youth engaged and employed in gainful activities, you know. You know, if we start with things like that, also mines creating employment on a local level. We focus on infrastructure projects, but focusing rather on creation of employment. I think, you know, to the extent that you are able to get people working, to get them jobs, to get them to put food on the table, they will be less susceptible to being utilized for nefarious purposes. So that's kind of like the, you know, where we have to also act at a very local level. But yes, in terms of the policing side of things, I really do think they, you know, they, you know, in terms of the security apparatus, our intelligence has to be literally totally improved. I mean, we've seen how, yes, in terms of the challenges that we've had in mining level, there hasn't been any intelligence in terms of what is actually happening. So yes, I think our police used to have to be a lot more supported. Post-Marikana, a lot of police officers almost like are too afraid to take action, because yes, on the one hand, they'll also be subject to investigations and certain rules for taking action. So let's support the police, and also let's capacitate them, and then also let's fund the security apparatus. So there are a couple of areas that we have to work on locally, with the police, even the mining companies themselves can improve their outcomes better. We're talking about the socioeconomic development outcomes.
Absolutely.
We are trying to improve those too.
Yeah, Errol, and you know, the suggestion is that you know, we've got various spheres of government ought to be reprioritizing some of their spending trends in order to support some of the initiatives that are underway, something like the Impact Catalyst Initiative. So talk us through that and how much of a potential solution a project like that puts on the table.
Well, look, in the Northern Cape, the mining companies have pulled together and again bringing in the government agencies there as well, because there is a lot of money that's actually spent on social upliftment by the mining companies. And through our social and labor plans, we've got massive spending commitments in various places in the country. Unfortunately, very often what's happened is mining companies have gone off and done their own initiatives, and government is doing its own initiatives, and you're just not getting any efficiency. Mm-hmm. So as a result, you're getting wastage, massive wastage, and that wastage is in management time, efficiencies and rollout. So you're not getting economies of scale, and you're not really getting impacts. The Impact Catalyst Project in the Northern Cape is looking at the whole IDPs, the whole social development plan for a region, and trying to align all the government agencies and the mining companies and all the other industries that are also operating in that environment, and trying to do something a little bit more planned and ordered so that we can have a genuine long-term sustainable impact instead of fighting fires. You know, we can't keep stomping on the little fires. We've actually got to look at the underlying problems and deal with it.
How much reprioritization of spend, DG, is on the table right now so that, you know, you've got government, in fact, working hand in hand with companies and collectively getting more bang for their buck?
What we have discussed with the mining companies, you remember when we started with the mining charter, the minister, when he, you know, consulted on mining charter too, we were very clear, just to align myself with the point that Errol has raised, that instead of having many, many projects that come from the, you know, the commitments that the companies have made, it would be important that we combine our efforts, our mining companies, they consider doing one big project within that area where they are operating. And now there have been, you know, some proposals in the table, but the conversation is still ongoing. What I can confirm is that we are beginning to see the results of that, because we do have mining companies that are coming together to put projects together. And so that on its own is a very good initiative and effort. That is the call that the minister made. Now, as for the SLPs, we have agreed that where there is actually a need for, you know, reprioritization to be done, and so that can be looked into. I mean, you know, we're living under a new normal.
Yeah.
You know that mining companies as well have gone through some difficult time as a result of COVID starting from last year. That is why we have also put measures in place together with the Minerals Council on how can we assist in making sure that we rebound back strongly. And so all those measures that we have put in place, they are beginning to yield the results.
Yeah.
I don't know if we still have time. There is one point without being opportunistic. I know Errol is waiting for me, you know, to say something about this issue and Chabana there. You know, we have made a commitment as a department. I need to confirm that we, you know, encountered some technical challenges here and there. This is on the cadastral system, but we are almost done. I don't want to you know, do the same mistake that we previously maybe committed, not a mistake as such, but the commitment that we made previously. But what I can confirm to the colleagues is that the delays were caused by multiple parties that had to be engaged before we can make a final decision. As a department, we made a decision on time. Now we had to go through other governance processes and structures. And so I'm happy to confirm that all those processes have now been concluded. Very soon, then, you know, we'll be having this request for proposal out in the market. And so I think it is something that the market is waiting for. The issue is almost done. We'll be going out into the market. Thank you very much.
There you've got it, Tabelo and Errol, confirmation and commitment on the record. We'll have to see how it all plays out. Unfortunately, not enough time, you know, to really debate this entire conversation to the extent that it needs to. But a pleasure having you here. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, the DG of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, Thabo Mokoena. Tabelo Chabana, who's Senior Executive of Public Affairs and Transformation at the Minerals Council SA, and Errol Smart, CEO of Orion Minerals as well.